What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by The Club, the number one live streaming app for DJs and partygoers. Today, we have my brother, My DJ Dre, on the podcast. Brother, can you please introduce yourself, tell the people who you are and where you're from?
What's going on, man? It's My DJ Dre checking in. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, the Coalition DJs. I love my plug. Legion of Doom DJs, One Structure DJs, and we're currently doing the My DJ Dre HBCU College Tour.
Awesome, brother. Super excited to have you on the My DJ Story podcast. And this podcast, we like to share your story as a DJ and help other people in their journey. So talk to us about your early days as a DJ. How did you get started and what sparked that initial interest in becoming a DJ?
The initial interest started when I was in college, man. I played football for South Carolina State University, HBCU in Orangeburg, South Carolina. And so I was from Atlanta, and I had all the CDs. At that time, it was CDs. I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but at that time, it was CDs. And so after the game, especially if we won, I would be the guy, hey, Dre, crank some music up, man. We're going to party. And so back then, you had those 100 packs of CD cases. So I had like two or three books worth of CDs. And so that kind of started the niche of me putting in the music after the game. Then that turned into me actually graduating, coming home, getting a regular 9-to-5 corporate job. They gave me an American Express card and I started going buying equipment. That's when I learned you got to pay the American Express bill at the end of the month. No matter how much you spent, you got to pay that bill. So it turned into that. September 11th hit, the last person hired is the first person fired in corporate America, if you guys didn't know that. So I was the first person fired after 9/11 when everyone started downsizing. And luckily, I had bought some DJing equipment. Pretty much there, you know, just been building it ever since, going from club to club. And now, you know, we're turning it into... that's crazy because thinking of how my story started is why I kind of still do the HBCU tour, because it was just so fun and interactive. And, you know, we do it different ways now, of course, but that's one of the main reasons why I continued on doing the HBCU tours, because I started DJing actually literally in the dorm.
Nice, man. That's super exciting. And you went from a college dorm DJ to just really going about and doing DJing in all sorts of great places, man. Check out your profile, and you've been around, brother, and I appreciate you being on the show and telling this story. So highlight some of the things that you've done throughout your journey, you know, after, you know, getting your introduction at college, and just walk us through some of the things you've been doing over the past 10 to 15 years.
Well, I've been DJing, yeah, for about 15 years. And so one of the main milestones was I DJed for Young Jock. I was his DJ for 4 to 5 years with Swag Team is the crew. And then also let me jump back before that. I was listening to the radio station, and I like DJ Hershey. DJ Hershey is a good friend of mine, and he's an awesome DJ. And I used to train my ear to DJ like how he blends and mixes, and it's just, you know, it's flawless. But one day I was listening to the radio, and they said there was this group called the Super Friend DJs. And so being from Atlanta, well, I was born in Cleveland, but I've been down here since I was 6 or whatever. So being an ATLian, I heard that they were making the Legion of Doom, which is the nemesis. I don't know if you guys watch cartoons or whatnot, but you got Super Friends and the Legion of Doom. And so here in Atlanta, they started the Legion of Doom DJs back in the BMF days and all that stuff. And so one day I walked into the LOD office and was, you know, I want to be a part of it. They said, you can pay dues. And I said, I don't have any money, but I got a degree. And then I can, you know, go downstairs and I can organize all this stuff for you. So long story short, I came to director of marketing after being there for so long. I would write up all the proposals and whatnot and actually DJ. Then after that, I started DJing with Young Jock on the road. I started DJing with BHI on the road, K-Rab, them did the Snap Music, do Pool Palace and all those songs. We did a couple of road trips with Jeezy, with DJ Brad. He brought me along. We're doing with Jeezy. Then after Young Jock, I kind of started my own little tour. It was at that time, it was the LOD College Tour, which I'd use the same acronym and partner with, because the brand of the DJs was so known at then. And then we've just grown from that all the way into now. I'm still DJing in normal clubs. I got strip clubs that I'm at, Gold Rush, and regular party clubs like Ghost Bar, where it's not dancers, it's just everybody's coming to have fun. You know, we do private parties, we do park parties. I just got a lot of promo material to give people an experience when we're outside, whether it's through games and the music, the cornhole. Cornhole is kind of like horseshoes, if anybody out there don't know. but yeah, that's a couple of milestones of what we kind of accomplished. I got we've helped out with a lot of different projects. I got a plaque from Future with Coalition DJs. I got YFN Lucci gave us a plaque. ATL Top 20, I was 2021 DJ of the Club DJ of the Year. So I got a couple of accolades, but my whole thing is I've just been passionate about getting new music and finding new music, or getting that new music and just putting it out to the world and using our platforms and using, you know, everyone can say, oh, I broke this record. I kind of have broken some record, but it really takes other DJs too as well. You know, you can only be the first person to kind of play the record, but, you know, everyone kind of does their part.
Love it, man. No, this is an amazing story. And one thing we like to use this podcast with to educate and teach other people on how you were able to achieve that success so they can achieve it themselves as well. So talk to us. How did you kind of transition into some of these great opportunities, like working with Young Jock and some of the celebrities and other people in the industry that you're able to work with? How did those go about, and how can other people kind of maneuver their way into those kind of similar spaces?
I just put myself out there and, me and Jock had a bond before Jock was actually signed. We were going from park to park, setting up and, you know, just trying to get any kind of exposure that we could. And then one day some guy was like, man, you guys are in the, oh, what was the name of that park? Maddox Park. And I was like, man, you guys are doing good, but nobody's out here kind of can put you to that next level. And so we just started thinking of different stuff that we can do. And then eventually he got signed. In the beginning, when he first initially got signed, I wasn't his DJ, but I didn't get discouraged. I started, you know, keep perfecting my craft. With me as a DJ, you got to kind of perfect your craft. I'm glad I got on the road with him because it taught me how to DJ for the crowd. Because if I'm in Atlanta and playing certain songs, it may not work in Boston. So every time we would go to a city, I'll listen to their radio station. I kind of go through their radio station playlist, kind of call a friend that's maybe in that area or whatever. And hey, what's some of the hot tracks that they're, you know, going out? But not back then, it wasn't really a lot of social media stuff. So the music was, we would have music here in Atlanta, and 5 months later, it finally made it to Boston. Well, nowadays, there's only a click of a button, you know, and everybody can get it. And everybody has access to it. So, you know, I just tell people to stay vigilant about, you know, what you're doing. Learn your craft, man. It's definitely a good thing to learn your craft. Watch your meters, let alone the side of just selecting music. You know what I'm saying? You got to watch your meters. You got to watch your EQs so you won't be distorted and, you know, things of that nature. And so that's kind of something that pushed me on along. Technically wise, they had the confidence in me of knowing, okay, well, at least it's not going, stuff not going to break down and, you know, Dre can fix it. And that turned into me, that's how I get a lot of other jobs. Dre, why does you sound so different than everybody else? It's because I check my meters, I check my bass, I kind of do an overall check. And as I'm playing music, I'm making sure my meters are staying at those same frequency, those same levels, because some people record in their garage, and some people can record a patchwork professional studio. So that's kind of some of the things that I use to, that I would do that carried me a long way. And then the number one thing that I would do is, you know, I stuck by the rule, I would not be in the trunk of a car. Meaning, if someone paid me for their for services or play a song, you know, I did what I say, I say what I do. You know, if I said I'm going to mop, I'm going to mop, I'm not going to sweep. So that's kind of my ideal of, you know, just keep doing what you're saying, saying what you're doing, and kind of, you know, keep growing your talents. There's so much music coming out now. It's, I won't say it's hard to keep up. It's kind of easy to keep up with, but it's hard to keep up with in your head on when I'm looking at the crowd and I'm trying to get every single person to bob their head. You know, it's got a lot of stuff to choose from. So that's the only difference from now and then. But, you know, man, everybody just got to keep practicing their craft, keep learning their craft. Luckily, I started off, nowadays you can download a freaking app and, you know, it pretty much DJs for you. Well, when I came up, I started DJing with records and then CDs, then, you know, so it kind of got those core basics to me. Well, if you're starting a DJ right now, I got one piece of advice for you to watch. You need to watch The Get Down. And The Get Down is on Netflix? It's a show or series that's on Netflix. And Grandmaster Flash, in one of those episodes, he really breaks it down how you DJ from the cue point, from transitioning and all that simple stuff. I think I'm going to do my fiance, what we're going to do, we're going to do a DJ etiquette type course. It's not really the technical things of DJing, it's really more the etiquette of DJing, telling someone the request line is closed and speaking to your crowd and knowing when to play different stuff. You know, simple stuff like that, where it's not really the technical aspect, because technical aspect is pretty much, I'll tell every DJ, just keep practicing. I practice every night that I DJ. And hopefully when we get to concerts and stuff like that, well, that's not really a practice. We got to kind of do certain things. But every other night when it's a normal night, I'm practicing. I'm practicing different deliveries. I'm practicing different music. I'm practicing different segues. I'm practicing different jokes, you know, and seeing how that the stuff goes like that. So that's
wow. This is great, man. Like, you've dug deep into a lot of elements of DJing. I like how you spoke about DJing from the technical side and also from the business side, man. At this time, we're going to jump into a quick commercial break. And when we return, we're going to talk to our brother here, my DJ Dre, about a little bit of the things that he has going on in his new course that he's building.
Awesome.
And we're back. We're here with my brother, my DJ Dre, and he has an amazing story of his journey in the DJ industry for the My DJ Story podcast, man. We're just talking about your course and the things that you're going to be teaching other DJs on how to elevate their business, not only from a technical perspective, but from the soft skills and business elements of running a DJ business. So talk to us a little bit about your plans for this course and what can some of the people listening learn from you in this course?
Yeah, like I said, it's going to be a DJ etiquette course. Some of the things you'll learn is sticking to your guns on, you know, if your price is your one price, let it be that price. Don't go anywhere without a deposit type thing. I can tell you one story where, and I guess it might be part of a, where you can tie this into the inequalities from the police department. So basically it was an old ticket that I had in Savannah going to the college or going somewhere for a show or whatever. And I paid that ticket. And so I want to say a year later or whatever, I get a call saying, hey, my DJ Dre, we want you in so-and-so town, somewhere down there by Savannah. We want to book you. It's $1,500 a night. And my instincts were saying, okay, I'll send you the paperwork. I don't want to send a deposit, man. What if you don't want to show up, man? Stuck to my guns. Nah, I need a deposit. Hang up. They call back. Hey, man, we really want you, man. I just looked at your MySpace. It was MySpace back then. I just looked at your MySpace and, man, we want you for 2 to 3 days. We're going to pay you $1,500 a day. We'll send you a deposit. Well, I don't feel comfortable sending you a deposit. Long story short, I tell the guy, all right, I'll meet you halfway from here to there, which would end up being somewhere like Valdosta or something like that. And when I get there, it's a setup. It's a bondsman that's trying to, you know, get me and take me back to Savannah or wherever it was for an old ticket that I already paid. They had the police officer there. They had all these police there at Waffle House. I'm like, oh my God, I should have took the deposit. I should have stuck to my guns and said, no, 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 no. Sign the paperwork and send the money. And so halfway, he ended up taking me back another hour and 2 hours south of where we were. And we get into jail and the guy behind the counter says, hey, that's Pounds. My last name is Pounds. Hey, that's Pounds. I told you we don't need him. He's good. And I'm like, oh my God, get me out of these cuffs. And you guys got, the guy didn't even want to take me back to where he picked me up from. Cause the friend, luckily I had a friend ride with me. So he took the car and drove back to Atlanta. And by the time we get to whatever little town it was, he made it back to Atlanta. So now we got to all drive back. I kind of nutted up a little bit. Like, man, you got to take me back. He literally was finna leave me there. That's another Black Lives Matter story. That's a different subject. But the point is, please stick to your guns. If they don't sign the paperwork, don't even deal with it. If they don't want to talk to your lawyer, it's not even worth it. Stick to your worth. Stick to your price. Stick to your deposit, what do you call that, regimen. Stick to your process of checking something on the board from penciled in to green. So that's part of one of the things we'll teach in the DJ etiquette course that we will put out.
Wow, I love that, man. And it shows just by having a process and sticking to it, you reduce a lot of risk in your business because yeah. You never know who's on the other end of that call. And you want to make sure you protect yourself and your business and your time, which is very valuable. You cannot get back those 10 or whatever hours it took for you to, you know, go to jail and then, you know, come back. And you just never know who you're dealing with. So sticking to your guns, sticking to your process is very helpful to make sure you run a smooth business where there's little or no hiccups, man.
DJing is a business. That you have 20% of it is fun and having fun and you get to drink on the job if you drink or whatever. But it's the 80% of it is business. It's literally business from people coming up saying, hey, how much you charge to play my record? And it's an etiquette for that of, okay, is this the type of environment that is freely open to new music? Or am I at the club and we're in Miami and it's just party time and people want to party and just hear hit after hit after hit after hit. So the price is going to, if there is a price for that party, I might say something crazy. Hey, give me $1,000 just to run them off because I don't really want to change my set. Well, if we're at somewhere where, you know, mostly strip clubs, you can kind of play whatever you want, you know, typically, you know, okay, well, give me $50 because it's a more ample place for me to switch that stuff up. Yeah,
that's a good advice, man. I think that anyone that's listening, definitely look out for My DJ Dre's etiquette course that's coming out soon. I think you're going to learn a lot, as you can hear on this podcast, a little sample of the course, man. And one thing we like to talk about is your branding, man, and you have done a fantastic job with your branding. Talk to us about your name, My DJ Dre, how you got that name and what it means to you and how it kind of relates to your whole brand as a DJ.
I started off with I Am DJ Dre and just DJ Dre when everybody was doing the I Ams. And then I want to say 4 or 5 years ago, a friend of mine, her name is Sasha, and I started up. My mom does training management consulting, which is more of a like a virtual assistant or Yeah, virtual assistants for your company. And she taught me how to start companies and do them from scratch and go to the Secretary of State and whatnot. And so with Saisha, we started Saisha Unlimited with her, where she had models and they did this whole bunch of stuff. And so she would always say, hey, my DJ, my DJ. Hey, my DJ, my DJ, my DJ Dre, my DJ, my DJ. She would say my DJ all the time. It kind of just stuck. And I kind of liked it where, okay, it's kind of like, what's that guy named, the comedian Cat Williams, when he does the skit, I'm a pimp named Slickback. You must say a pimp name first. You just can't call him Slickback. So I kind of got it from that where you got to say my DJ Dre. And it was cool. And so that stuck from her. And then as other people come in the club, and they like the way I DJ, man. It's something, you know, I'm not to be arrogant, but I feel like, you know, and I've heard this all my career and I still hear it. I hear it last night. I'm here tonight. Oh my God, when you DJ, it's such a different vibe. It's such, oh my God. And so artists that from artists to the waitresses to, they always say, oh, that's my DJ right there, man. Dre, come on, help me out, man. I got a new record, you know, so and so and so and so. It's my DJ. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of stuck, and it was like, well, that's perfect. Kind of throw that in there just to everybody to say my DJ. And when I tell them my name, you have to say the my, and I say, hey, it's like, who's your DJ? And you say, my DJ Dre. So that's kind of where I got all that from, and it stuck. And it's been going over well. We've been branding it. We've branded it from the clubs, from the Legion of Doom to Coalition DJs. And now we're branding it with the HBCU tour.
Nice, man. I love it. It makes a lot of sense. And it's an amazing story of how you got that name. And it kind of really builds upon just you as a person and your character as my DJ Dre. So I love it. I'm a fan. And I know that brand and that name is going to go very far. And this is amazing, man. Talk to me about some of the initiatives and some of the tours that you're working on. Because people want to know, man, you got a lot of fans now. I can definitely tell from this interview that there's going to be a lot of people that want to engage with you. You know, what are some of the tours and things that you've done in the past and also that you're doing now? Tell us a little bit about that.
I started off with us, like when I was working with Young Jock, and we did the Up and Go tour, where we literally just one day it was like, hey, y'all, we finna go on tour. Tell everybody we finna, you know, up and go. And we was on the road for, I want to say, month and a half straight. Maybe every week we might come back to Atlanta, kind of regroup, but then we coming right back out. And so that gave me the initiative to start. At the end of that time, it was LOD College Tour now, which is segued into my DJ Dre HBCU Tour. And basically, we do halftime shows during 2020. You can go to my MySpace page, My DJ Dre Publishing, YouTube. On my YouTube page, My DJ Dre, you can see our 2020 schedule of what we did before COVID, where we would entertain, we give them halftime shows at the basketball games for historically black colleges. And then that segued, and now we're coming back. The country is opening back up, so we're gonna do the same thing, football season, and we're turning it up a notch because we have got a whole lot of different games and giant billboards and stuff like that. So we're giving it, we're calling it experiential marketing. And so we're giving an experience to the students or whoever it may be. This year during football season is, of course, tailgating area. So we got a 10 by 20 tent. We got inflatable sofas. We got all this different stuff to encourage the kids, welcoming people back to the campus, welcoming people back to the stadiums for the games. Of course, giving them some of that outdoor fun because everything is kind of a little better when you do it outdoors because of COVID, to kind of relieve everyone's stresses concerning that disease. But yeah, we're branding that. And then another thing that we're starting, we've just started and we're going to start more towards the end of this year, is the My DJ HBCU College Fund. And with that nonprofit organization, we're going to be giving away $1,000 probably every semester or quarter, depending on how some schools operate, to a high school graduate that's going to be going to an HBCU college. and an HBCU grad that just graduated from an HBCU to kind of help. Because those high school kids, when they're going to college, man, or when I went to college, we needed every little dime that we can get, especially when the cafeteria is closed and you're kind of hungry. So that's kind of what we got going on for this year. We're planning to do about 10 to 15 football games in the fall, plus a couple of extracurricular activities that we're going to try to coordinate with the SGA and certain schools and student activities where we give them that experiential marketing where they playing the games and interacting and giving them that branding opportunity for us and the experience for the students. We're due, like I said, about 10 to 15 different schools, from football games to the normal cookouts and whatnot. And then we'll come back again during basketball season and do another 10 to 15 halftime shows.
That's amazing, man. And congrats to all your success. You're really keeping yourself busy and you're doing a good job at it. And you're having a lot of fun. You make it sound so fun and amazing. So
you got to have fun doing this. If you're not having fun, you need to, you know, my family raised me like that. Like, you know, do what's in your heart. You know, if you're not happy doing it, then you're going to come home grumpy and get divorced and beat your kids. And I'm taking it a little extreme, but it's something, some people out there that's kind of going through that. So be happy doing what you're doing. If you're not happy, then, you know, that's just a job.
Yeah, man. I love it, man. You give off a great vibe. And I know a lot of people just listen to your story are going to be inspired to make it further in their DJ career, brother. Do you have any parting advice for DJs that are looking to take their DJ career to the next level, or someone that's looking to get into the game?
Yeah, just stay humble, man, and stick to your craft. Always be working on your craft. Always be working on the technical things. Like I said earlier, you can practice that every night while you're DJing. Don't be afraid to try new things and try new music. Stick to that professionalism. And just keep going at it. You know, branding is everything. So, you know, stick to your brand, protect your brand, evolve your brand. A friend of mine, Be Rich, that was kind of another milestone for me in between the college tour. And after we stopped DJing for Young Jock, I got with Be Rich. Be Rich is a well-known manager here in Atlanta. He's managed Kevin Gates and B.O.B., him and TJ's DJs. And so I talked to him one day and I was like, man, kind of what the question you asked me, what do I do to kind of take it to the next level and you know, get that recognition and whatnot. And he said, Dre, all you got to do is just, you know, once you get a club that's big enough and that's jumping, everybody's going to come to you as opposed to you trying to get everybody to go with everybody. Now, once you get that one club that everybody that's jumping, and that one club for me was the After Hours, called the Voodoo here in Atlanta. It's kind of like a new staple here in Atlanta. The After Hours would stay open from 3 o'clock to 10 in the morning. Actually, I would get off at 7 and another DJ would come in and switch shifts and he'll keep them in there at the 10. So that was like, every artist came in there. Future hasn't come in there yet, but every other artist has literally come in this After Hour place. And so that is what start drawing everybody to me. And then Be Rich actually did put me on the road with Kevin Gates that lasted about a week though, about 2 weeks. It was a different kind of circumstances of why I was going. I was going just to, that was the weirdest thing though, man. He told me, hey, you're going on the road with Kevin Gates, but don't tell him you're a DJ. And I'm like, oh my God, what am I? I'm supposed to lie to Kevin Gates? He's gonna look at me and say, "Ah, you liar, off with his head." No, Kevin Gates wouldn't say that. He might, but I don't know. But yeah, that was kind of weird. He told me, I just want you to observe. I don't know if he was having problems with his DJ or, you know, I think his DJ was his friend, but I don't think the segues, I don't think the show was going right. But he told me to just go look. And I'm just looking and observing. And then a week and a half later, they said, hey, we're going to drop you off. All right. I got my money before we actually left. So be rich. I owe you. I owe you some old favors, man. You still in?
Awesome, brother. And how can myself, the club, our community, and the listeners help and support you on your journey?
You can follow me on all platforms. Everything is My DJ DRE, from the website mydjdre.com to Instagram My DJ Dre. We also have My DJ Dre HBCU Tour on Instagram, is where you can find that, all the information on the tour. Or you can go to mydjdre.com and you'll click on the link that says HBCU Tour. And find us there. I'm going to actually make me a My DJ podcast. I'm going to make a podcast on the club podcast, on the club app. So we're going to start that probably within the next 2 weeks, where we're going to have a good, we're going to call it 100+ minutes of DJ Dre, where we're going to be mixing, and I'll be giving you insights and the names of different new songs that you'll hear in the mix. But everything's going to be My DJ Dre. So, you know, you just search that Facebook and everything, you'll see it.
Awesome, brother. It's super close branding. My DJ Story podcast with My DJ Dre is perfect, awesome, man. So we're super excited to have you. At this time, we're going to jump into the lightning round. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
I got a Serato Pro software. Then I'm using, currently I'm using a Pioneer DDJ SR2. I got this spare, this is an SR2. So yeah, I got two SR2s, but I can DJ off two DVD players if I need be. I am that old school. I literally have done that. Back in the day we've done that.
Who's your favorite DJ?
My favorite DJ besides myself is I'm gonna go with DJ Hershey, man. Hershey got that blend going on. Hershey got the mix. He's a mix master. I go with DJ Hershey. Runner up, I'm gonna give it to DJ Cristal. DJ Cristal is, I learned a lot from him. We used to go to going from store to store back when everybody was buying CDs, and we've literally made the quick story. He's the only person that we've set up at the Essence Festival. And you know how you set up your CDs at the Essence Festival and the police or whoever comes by around and, hey, you got to shut it down, it's counterfeit. We are the only people where the RIAA handed us a paper saying, boom, here, you guys are official. Because what we did, and the DJs, this is another etiquette type tip too. Ask all the artists that you run into, hey, Moneybag Yo, let me get a drop. And it's going to say, yeah, it's Moneybag Yo. A drop is, when they actually record their voice saying, hey, this is Moneybag Yo, and you're listening to the My DJ podcast. And boom. So when we played all those drops at the Essence Festival, the RIAA man was like, well, that sounds like Future to me. That sounds like Jeezy to me. Okay, you guys got permission from these guys. We're going to leave you alone. So DJ Cristal and DJ Hershey, those are my top two DJs.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at, and why?
Wow. From the list of all the parties, I'll give you a top two. One was I forget the name of the fraternity that we did. It was a frat house party on the road with Jock somewhere. And that was just the wildest, uncivilized, best fun ever type of party, because it was they was ready to party. The people was ready to party. So I could have played the ABCs and they would have went crazy. So it was kind of an easy thing like that. And then one of the other best ones was an actual concert. I forget where we were at. And I just was getting great response. Concerts are kind of iffy to me. It's not like you're going into a frat house and they're ready to party no matter what you play. Concerts, I'm there to warm up the crowd before the headliner comes on, because at the time, Jock was the headliner. for most of the shows that we did. And the response I got out of everybody, from giving them samples of music to throwing water on them, you know, to telling my little jokes and doing my little skits that I do, it was just the overwhelming response that I got. And so that's what made me start to really pay attention to the crowd every time, whether it's a concert or whether it's just a normal club event.
Who's the most interesting person you've met throughout your DJ career?
The most interesting person I met, I say Ray Hamilton, and he has That Rabbit, thatrabbit.com. He was the former president of the Legion of Doom DJs. And this guy, he just is a all-out machine, man. And his train of thought is one way, futuristic. His business savvy is what I've learned from here. Him is A1 on point. So he's one of the most interesting person that I met.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
One thing missing from live streaming. Well, with me live streaming, it's kind of hard for me to DJ and I'm only looking at the number of viewers I got. So I guess the interaction or the visual interaction is kind of what's missing to me, because you can't really, you can see hearts pop up on your screen, but I can't see a body move to the beat. And that kind of don't really, it doesn't do it for me. And so I'd rather just record than just let it play, kind of. But yeah, I think that's what's missing from live streaming. It's one more step away from interaction.
And shout out to DJs that you know personally, whose stories also need to be shared on this podcast.
I think DJ Crystal's story should be shared on this podcast. DJ Kool-Aid should be shared on this podcast, because that's who Jeezy's talking about. Got some super friends in the Legion of Doom. That's kind of what catapulted the LOD brand. But DJ Kool-Aid is actually the person he was literally talking about. And so DJ Kool-Aid has a story that's, he can tell his story without some of the people on those BMF days and whatnot. He can tell this whole story. You'll have to talk to Meech about Kool-Aid's story, because Kool-Aid can tell the whole story from his point of view. And so, yeah, his story definitely needs to be shed light on.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely make an intro. We would love to have their stories on the show. And any DJ that's interested in being on the podcast can sign up at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
You can find me online at mydjdre.com. Here in Atlanta, I am Mondays and Wednesdays, we're at Gold Rush Show Bar downtown. Thursdays, we're at Rafe on the south side on Old National. Saturdays, we're at Ghost Bar. Ghost Bar is a lounge club where we play everything from soca. I play everything from soca, reggae, hip-hop, old school hip-hop. So we make it a party, actually, on Saturdays. And then just be looking out on mydjdre.com or the My DJ Dre HBCU Tour Instagram page, and you'll see the actual schools that we're going to start rolling out. Coming up on Memorial Day weekend, May the 30th, we're doing the My DJ Dre HBCU Tour fundraiser and cookout. So we're going to be raising money for our tour. We're going to be raising money for the My DJ HBCU College Fund nonprofit organization, so we can start giving back to some of those deserving kids that's going to be attending HBCUs or just graduated from HBCUs. So you can check us there on the 30th of May, that Sunday before Memorial Day. We'll be at Washington Park in Atlanta, Georgia, doing a cookout. We're going to call it alumni cookout, because we're going to do the kids kind of at the club. so the kids won't get too crazy out there at the park. You know, Black Lives Matter, so we're going to keep the positivity going. But we're calling all alumni. Is it alumni or alumnae? I forget that. I was a math major, so don't get me wrong. But all alumnus, alumni, alumnus, alumnae, whichever your pick, we're going to be at a fundraiser cookout for the HBCU tour on the 30th.
Awesome, brother. This has been an amazing interview with my brother, my DJ Dre, on the My DJ Story podcast. So fitting to have you on the show, brother. Well-educated, super talented, just an amazing entertainer, and just a person with so much skill and wisdom that you shared on the podcast today. So I appreciate you for spending time with us, and we look forward to building and working with you further in your journey.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you guys having me. I love this platform that you have for us, man. I appreciate it.